You know, one of the prayers I realized that people, when you pray for them, they are always reluctant to say amen. Especially parents, if you pray for their children, you say, your child will become a pastor. They say, Mario, you'll become a pastor. That amen was a. If it's possible, he will have said a woman. You know, glory be to God. Let's thank God for blessed life, blessed health, blessed people, blessed families, blessed church. I'm telling us more than anything since we started this series, I'm just realizing how blessed I am. And I'm realizing also how blessed you are. And I wish that every one of us will actually see, honestly see, how blessed we are. I'm telling you. One of the things that, thank you, Holy Spirit, I promised to share with us is Genesis chapter 1. Today we are going to the part 3 of the Blessed Family series. But let's see something in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And let's read from where it all began with mankind. Genesis chapter 1 tells us from verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The Bible tells us in verse 27, and God blessed them. Who are the them that God blessed? God blessed the male and the female. The blessing of God is not gender specific. It's one of the things we learned. God blesses both male, female, man, woman, boy, girl. And the Bible says, and God said to them, please note this, God blessed them, and then God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, see, or behold. You see, the word behold is a very powerful word. I learned this many years ago that behold means look and see, or look until you see. Because it's possible for you to be looking at a thing and not actually seeing what you should see. You are looking, but you are not seeing. Please note that. So God says, look and see. I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Please, it started with the blessing, not gender specific. It started with the command to be fruitful and multiply, because blessed, as we've learned in this series, means to empower, to prosper. When we use the word bless, we need to understand what it means. It's not cars, it's not houses, it's not wives, it's not husbands, is not shoes, is not cars, is not designers. It means to be empowered to prosper. So God blessed mankind. In other words, I've empowered you to prosper. I've empowered you. Now, be fruitful. Because if you don't realize that you need to use the power you've been given, you might either misuse the power or the power just becomes dormant. We are blessed, people. We are blessed. It's there. We're empowered. But are we using the power. So he now told them in verse 29, see, behold and see, I have given you. Because if you cannot look and see what I've given you, you may not enjoy what I've given you. It's like you trying to get into a house and you cannot see the door. And the door is actually there, but you've just been going round and round and round, but you can't see the door. You wouldn't be able to enter the door. It doesn't mean the door wasn't there. There was something profound Ezekiel shared with us during the prayer meeting last Friday about a message that God gave him, so profound. He was in the church building, cleaning, and he left the door open. And two people came, and they were actually standing in front of the door. But they were pressing the bell, they were knocking, because they did not realize the door was actually unlocked and it was open. So it's like that at times. What we don't see, we can't really enjoy. We can't benefit from. So God is saying, see what I've given you. Because if you don't see it, you won't enjoy it. I've given you every herb. I've given you every tree. I've given you the tree. Even in the tree is the seed that will bring even more fruit and more seed and more trees. So I've given you everything for food. I've given you every beast of the earth. I've given you every fowl. I've given you everything that creeps. I've given you anything that has life in it. I have given you every green herb for meat, and it was so. Now look at the principle, verse 31. Very, very, very powerful. The Bible now says that God himself saw everything he has made. And look at the word again. Behold, God himself looked and he saw. He looked till he saw. And realize that everything he made was what? Very good. Please say very good. If you cannot see the very good in something or in someone, you will not know its value. You will not enjoy the very good that's in that thing. And that is the strategy of the enemy, to make you and I not see the very good in us. To make you and I not see the very good in your children. To make you and I not see the very good in your spouse. To ensure that all you will see is the negative, is the very bad, is it not too good, is not the enough, is the not sufficient. That is the focus of the enemy. Because the strategy of God to enjoy what he has given us, what he has made, is for us to be able to see the very good in everything. There is a scripture, I think it's in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul, through this principle, was saying that our faith becomes effective. It becomes effectual when we acknowledge every good thing that is in us. If you can't see it, if you can't acknowledge it, you can't use it, you can't benefit from it. So I pray today that you will see that you are very blessed. I pray today you will see that even though 2019 may have started like Genesis chapter 1, empty, dark, void, but God said at the end, this is a very, very good year. Please lift up your hands and thank God that if I'm not seeing it yet, Lord, open my eyes that I see the very good in myself, the very good in my children, the very good in my spouse. Even the work you're doing currently, there is a seed in it, the seed of greatness. It's always tiny. You think you have a child that is sick. You think you have a child that is disabled. I pray that God will open your eyes. You see the very good. You think you have a useless husband. You think you have a useless wife. You think you have a not too good child. But I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, help us to behold. Help us to behold and see the very good in us, the very blessing you have blessed us. You have blessed us. You say you are not a man. You cannot lie. You are not the son of man. You cannot repent. Oh, Lord, when you are blessed, no man can reverse. It cannot be reversed. Father, thank you for this irreversible blessing that you have made me and given me to the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus. Please remind somebody beside you. Please ask them that in case somebody has In case you've not heard that you are very good. Please, I am telling you right now that you are very good. Please tell them what is very good about them. Your hair is very good. Your smile is very good. Look at the dress you are wearing. It's very good. Even though it's the same dress you've been wearing, it's still very good. It's not about the dress. It's God who has blessed you. Behold, and it was very good. Amen. Having set that in motion, let me just share this as it's dropping in my spirit. A brother was rounding up praying, he mentioned airplane, and there's something also God ministered to me about the train, because I just literally came out of Lime Street night from London, out of the train. But let me tell us something about the plane. When you are in the airplane, of course, there's a destination you're going. You've got a pilot. And the pilot, by virtue of their training, they can tell when the plane is about to hit a turbulence. They literally tell you, and then you see the seatbelt sign, please fasten your seatbelts, nobody moving, because we're about to hit a turbulence. Now, the pilot prepares you for the turbulence. The turbulence can only last for a while. The turbulence is not forever. It doesn't mean because you hit turbulence, you are not going to get to your destination unless something untoward happens. Now, the pilot of your life is not a human being. It's God, who has said that as far as this earth remains, we are going to experience seasons. So seasons of life come like the turbulence, but it won't last forever. I'm just telling somebody right now, just fasten your seatbelt. Don't worry if you can't move. The turbulence is about to end. And you are coming out of the other end stronger in the name of Jesus. Today we are looking at blessed children. 2 weeks ago when we started this, we started with blessed families. Well, 4 weeks, Reverend Dr. Patrick laid a good foundation, defined blessed and family to us. We went on to look at the blessed man and the blessed woman. And today, we want to go straight. I don't have the luxury of time, but today let's look at blessed children, blessed future, trained by blessed parents. Blessed children, blessed future, trained by blessed parents. From last week, when we looked at the blessed man and the woman, you know, some of the truths we have to understand is this. Every one of us came out of a biological family. And you had no choice of the family you will be born into. Nobody has that choice. But God, in his benevolence, has given every one of us, you know, what I would call a fundamental human choice. I learned one thing. The world describes United Nations came up with this act, fundamental human rights, article whatever, and they say your right is not meant to be, your fundamental human rights shouldn't be violated. There's a charter. But you know, the world we live in, we know that with all the charter, we still have nations and communities where your fundamental human rights can be trampled on and violated. So it's possible for your fundamental human right to be violated or trampled upon. But there's something God gave you and gave me. No man can trample or violate. It's called what I call your fundamental human choice. You always have the right. Let me not use the right. You always have the will to choose. Look, forget it. Don't ever say, I had no choice. Excuse me, for you to even say I had no choice meant that there was a choice. And it was the other choice. So don't say, I don't have a choice. You will always have a choice. It's always the consequences we fear. That's why we don't exercise our fundamental human choices. Divine is God-given. We must always understand that even God does not violate our fundamental human will. And that's one of the things we will understand today as we look at the blessed family. So you had no choice, the family you will be born into, but you have a fundamental human choice to choose the family of God you can belong to. God takes away the solitary and puts them in families. We saw that in the book of, now don't let me mix it up now, Psalm. I said Isaiah last week. Don't worry, I'm refreshed now. Okay, Psalm 68 and verse 6. Thank you very much. So you and I can, you may come from a family, I mean, you may think your family is cursed. Your family is not nice. You have a bad history from your family you came out from. You had no choice over that, but you have a choice now to choose a blessed family. The family of God is called the church. I'm not talking of an organization. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about you receiving the Savior. I'm talking about you being engrafted in the vine, where God is the vine. You can be part of God's family. It's your choice, and nobody can take that choice away from you. That's why God is a just judge. The gospel, this gospel we are preaching, every human being will hear this gospel, and they will have a choice to choose to accept or not. So it's not by force, it's by choice. And I have made that choice to be part of God's blessed family, and nobody can do anything about that. Nobody persecute me about my faith, make laws in the workplace about my faith. I still believe what I believe. It's not going to change. You can't take away my faith. Amen. And no one can take away what you believe also. And when people judge you, like we learned on Thursday, last Thursday, when people judge you for what you believe will fight for you. If you believe in God and people are judging you and persecuting you because you believe in God, God then fights for you. The battle is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't try to fight for yourself. Maybe somebody just needed to hear that. Just turn the battle over to the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. His name, Jehovah, Rapha, Nisi, El Shaddai, Sikenu, Rohi, is everything, all in all. Please, you are blessed. Please remind yourself, I can see now. I am blessed. Okay, so you need a blessed man and a blessed woman to raise a blessed family. That's where we try to build. Because when we say blessed family, then it's got to be the smallest unit that makes a blessed family is a blessed man and a blessed woman. So now let's look at blessed children, because out of that can proceed children who will be blessed. So please, let's just remind ourselves, being blessed is not a measurement of cash, properties, possessions, land, wealth. That's not the blessing. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord is what makes us rich without sorrow. If you have land, wealth, everything, husband, wives, and everything, but you don't have peace, you don't have joy, that's not the blessing of the Lord. That comes with sorrow. That's not of God. God's sovereign blessings are conditional. Let's learn that. I am blessed. I just need to fulfill the conditions to enjoy the blessings. Okay, a blessed woman, Psalm 1. Blessed man, Psalm 1. Just read it. A blessed person we established is someone who has found their delight and pleasure and purpose only in God. A blessed man or woman is one who walks, stands, sits where God walks, sits or stands. A man who has God as their head, their master, Lord, supreme source. That's a blessed woman. That's a blessed man. So next time somebody takes a picture, puts it on social media, and says, I'm blessed, please don't let the world redefine what it means to bless. That is not the blessing. Amen. You can become that blessed man. Just join God's family. Okay, let's look at children. I want to hit some things and trust God will just expand a little. We can define blessed children as children blessed by the Lord and raised by blessed parents. Please note that. Now, let's hit some things really hit it. Listen, training children is not buying them gifts and providing everything they need. We hear people use that term, oh yeah, I've trained my children, and what they mean is that they don't lack anything. I give them gifts. I give them everything they need. At Christmas, I buy them presents. At Easter, I send them, you know, wherever for picnic. I give them everything they need. I am telling you, I have seen children who lack nothing in terms of physical or material things, but are not happy. They are sad. They are depressed. They are oppressed. They just can't figure out what is wrong. I've seen parents who will be screaming at the other end of the phone to me, What does the child want? I have provided everything for this child. What is the child's problem? Training. That's the child's problem. You gave the child everything physical, but you never trained them. Number two, training children is not smacking them. Some people feel like smacking me after I say that. And you know, if any child, anyway, the child who should be in the hall now should be the ones who are very little. Their spirits can hear, but their understanding cannot comprehend. Because when I say this, children can use it to blackmail the parents. Pastor said, you know, one smart boy said it one time. Pastor said he doesn't smack his children. So, Daddy, why do you smack me? Let me tell us, training children is not smacking them. Some of us think when we smack, that means we are training. That's not the same thing as training. Number three, training children is not the same as praying for them. Let's get spiritual. It's not the same. The Bible says, train up a child in the way which he should grow. When he's old, he will not depart. The Bible didn't say pray up a child in the way. There is place for praying, but don't substitute praying with training. Praying, you come before God, you mention your children, you ask God to bless them, keep them, guide them, everything. Conversation with God is prayer. God then, in the place of your prayer, will remind you of his word that says, go and train your children. No, God, I'm busy, I'm praying to you. Don't substitute prayer for training. They have their different work, because I've seen very spiritual parents and very unruly children in my life. Praying mother, praying father, but untrained children. You're always busy praying, but you're not training. Please, you can't bribe God. God wrote his word. He knows his truth. Don't try and redefine it to him. You've got to train. Let's go on. Don't substitute praying for your children with training your children. You can go to all the prayer meetings you like, where they're praying for families, praying for husbands. It's just like also, this is not part of it, but a woman who is always praying for her husband, but you're not there for your husband. Yeah, we're still in church. Somebody's wondering, are we still in church? Yes, we are. And I'm telling you the word of God. Don't substitute these things. You're meant to be with your husband. You're meant to spend time with your husband. Right? But all you do is pray. Your husband wants to touch you. I'm praying. You will soon pray. I'm telling you. You will soon pray for what you shouldn't be praying for. Same thing with the men. I can tell you, I know some mistakes I've made and God is correcting me. I'm so busy with church, busy serving God, and I'm not training my children or spending time with my family and my wife. I am deceiving myself. It doesn't work. Now let's look at Proverbs 22:6. That's the scripture we've been shouting up. Train up a child, but don't train them down. train up. You can train down. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 clearly tells us, do not provoke your children. And you fathers, it's always fathers. I wonder why. Let me tell us this. Fathers provoke children. I'm not being sexist. And usually women spoil children. So you've got a child, the father is provoking, and the mother, in trying to appease the child, spoils the child in the process. So what do you have? You have a multi-personality, a provoked, spoiled child that was never trained. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them, look at it, bring them what? Up in training and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, busy fathers, I'm busy. I'm doing everything that will put food on the table. I am working hard. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm sending money. They have everything. They don't lack anything. Excuse me. They don't lack anything physical. They lack your presence and your training. Don't substitute. The devil is mad, and the devil is very good at substitution. Make you think you're a responsible father because you work so hard. Who told you? You work and work and work, but you don't train. You don't spend time with the children. You don't spend time with your wife. You are violating scriptures. The scriptures cannot be broken. People, we need to get the balance. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:15, Proverbs 23:13. I know this. Parents quote this. Christians quote this. I used to quote it, but now I know how to use it. There's a difference between quoting the Bible and applying the Bible. It says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Oh, foolishness is bound in a child, but the rod of correction will drive you far from it. Pa, 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 pa. You know, I've met parents who even boast, by the time I finish with you and I give you some patterns at your back, you will remember it for as long as you live. You are using a rod, not a rod of correction. You are reading a rod of destruction. There's a difference between a rod of correction and a rod of destruction. There are adults today who literally hate their parents because they will never forget the day your father beat you, embarrassed you in front of all your friends. You are still young then. And then you grew up to be a teenager. You thought you had a little bit of freedom. Your father came to your school, slapped you in front of everybody, embarrassed you in front of the girls, especially that one you were chasing. You will never forget. Now you are old or older. Your father does not have that strength again. Payback time. Revenge. Let me tell us. I had to sit down and examine my own life in line with what the Word of God says. I love my parents. There are things I've learned from them. There are things I am unlearning that I learned from them because they are not biblical. Now, I am a parent myself. And let me tell us something about parenting. It's more of on the job training, you know. The moment you have a child, it's not like you've been a parent before. It's that moment you became a parent. But what we can do is just learn a bit of principles. You know, I don't want to go deep into this. I pray one day, and I think God has given me a little bit of solution. Because I asked the women, especially in the church, with younger children, that please, can we organize a little bit of a training, a seminar on parenting, on bringing up children, especially in this time and age, that please, do you know anybody that can help? We don't mind, we'll pay for it. Because we need to learn some principles. We need to learn some biblical principles, time-tested, proven. the word of God on how to apply it. Because that word, rod, I had to go deep one day. Because I grew up and, you know, I was given some stripes once in a while. I hated it. I didn't like it. I never liked it. I never liked being beaten. Okay, we're all adults now. The children are there. We can do a statistics. Let me go to the children and ask some of the children you smack. And let me ask them if they like being smacked. You can understand and guess what their answers would be. Okay, those of us who are adults here, all right, please be sincere. Don't try and make your parents look good. How many of us here, and I want you to raise up your hand so that everybody can see you. Don't be embarrassed. This is not an altar call. You were smacked by your parents and you liked it. You enjoyed it. Oh, he said, bring it more, Lord. Bring it. Bring it, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Whip me more. Come on, Daddy. Okay, only one person. You enjoyed it. You liked it. When you grew older, you enjoyed it. You understood. Okay. When they whacked you. Okay. But when they were whacking you, you didn't like it. That's what we're talking about. Nobody liked it at that point. At that point, smacking children, listen, hitting children with the rod, listen. And I know some people are listening, they're called social services. Okay? It's not the same as training up a child. When you look at the word rod of correction, you look at the word rod. Listen, punishment is not the same thing as disciplining. Disciplining is discipline. What does it mean? Listen, who's a disciple? Somebody Jesus called 12. He said, come and spend time with me. See how I do things. It was discipling them. They were with him. With him. They saw him when he went to pray. They saw him when he came down. They saw him when he healed the sick. They saw everything. They were there. The questions they didn't understand, when they meet and have their discipleship meeting, they ask the questions for clarity. That is discipling. That is training. Daddy, mommy, you are not there. You only came back and you heard that they did this. This next thing, pa, pa. Why did they do it? Maybe because you are not always there to guide them. You don't spend time. So you just use the rod. So that is the language you teach a child. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That's why most of us here, we use the same rod too. No, not most of us. Most of us listening online. Nobody smacks anybody here. Social services, not here. Listen, that is the language we were taught. That is the language we will speak. We don't know any better. I was bothered. I was disturbed. I went into the scriptures, and I saw two scriptures that changed my life, changed my understanding completely. Revelation chapter 19. Lord, help me. Revelation chapter 19. Let's read from verse 15. Revelation 19 from verse 15. Let me just read it to us. Now, out of his mouth, this is talking about the branch, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, right? Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself threads the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. How does he rule the nations? Out of his mouth. What comes out of the mouth? A stick? A sword? Words. That is why most people who are depressed today, go and check, trace. If it's not something like a natural trauma that happened, maybe loss or anything, is down to what somebody said especially a parent. Useless child. Foolish boy. Idiot. You will never amount to anything. Look at your face. Look at your head. Do you know that such simple statements hurt? Look at your nose. And then he too looks at the nose and says something must be wrong. Goes right deep into the soul of the child, and the child starts having very low self-esteem. Esteem issues. Where do you think they come from? Words. Children are shaped more with words than with a stick. The root, the rod. Let's go to another scripture. Give us Isaiah 11 from verse 3 to 4. Here it says the rod of his mouth. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Okay, bring it in context. Let's go to verse 1. Bring this in very good context. Right? Verse 1, Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth, look at it again, a rod. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Okay? There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I counted this, there were 7. Go and do a personal study. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge this by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Verse 4, how will he judge? But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Verse 4, to get it clearly in context. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. The rod of the mouth. Children are more damaged with words even than with the stick. The rod can put a physical mark, but words can put an internal, invisible mark that the child will live with for the rest of their life. You are just wondering, why is this child always sad? They tell you nothing. You check them, you take them to the doctor. The doctor bring them to Dr. Patrick, he uses stethoscope. His heart is beating well. Let's check the blood. The blood is fine. It's still red. Let's check the water. They can't find anything through the stethoscope or through the microscope. Because you can't see the damage words do to the soul. The rod of the mouth. Now, let's put this in a positive context. I found out a secret. Spend time with your children. Talk to them. That is training. Do you know the word training? It means to instruct. It means to guide. It means to make it. You see that word training, Proverbs chapter, is it 22:15 or 23:15? Train up a child in the way which he should grow. That word train is literally put something in their mouth to taste. It also means in this context, make it narrow. You know, there are some things you tell a child that shapes the child's thinking. They think in a very narrow way. It's, you know what Jesus said? There's a wide way that leads to destruction. Many people are there. There's a narrow one. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Let me tell you, so that it may not sound like I'm boasting or just teaching. I don't want to teach. I want to teach what I've practiced. So we had our first son. God gave me this understanding. And I made up my mind, I will not smack my children. But I will talk to them. And I will always talk to them. So right from, because we're going to see something about blessing. You can, a child can be blessed from the womb. Right from the womb. We saw it in John the Baptist. We saw it in Jesus. Right from the womb. Start talking to the child in the womb. Start talking to the child in the womb. And when the child came out, start talking to the child. Even when the child cannot understand me. You need to see me in those days. I was practicing the word of God. I wasn't crazy. I will carry our first son, then Noah. I will tell my wife, please, let me just have father and son moment. He doesn't understand me. In fact, at times he will just wee on top of me while I'm talking. And I'm talking to him. I will tell him nice things. I will tell him what he will become. I will tell him he's blessed. I will tell him he will be a great man. I will tell him he will be a man of character. He doesn't understand Jack. But that was going into his soul. So, I tried my best to always talk. Unfortunately, circumstances made us to be apart for 1 year. One whole year. When my wife came to this country and I was still in Nigeria. So I didn't see him for 1 year. So we were not having that talk anymore. So when immediately I came, I noticed, my goodness, this young man has grown. He's grown. What do I do? I was a little bit confused initially, and I will threaten him like most of us do. I will smack you! But the young man somehow knows the country he lives in. He's been told. Oh, you don't know? I hope one day they don't tell you. Even I will smack you. You know, some parents have boasted. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out if I want. No time, some of these things don't work anymore. I'll smack you. The guy just laughed. Daddy. Smack me, I'll call 999. I realized I needed to talk to this young man. So I began to talk to him. I would talk to him, he would go outside, somebody will counter what I told him. Now I'm about to ruin Christmas for somebody. We are church people, I can say this here. So, for example, I told him there was nothing like Santa Claus who flies in the sky and drops gifts and all that. It's fun. Well, I said, I don't see any fun in it because it's a lie. And if I tell you there's Santa Claus, I'm teaching you to lie. When you have your own children, to you tell them there's Santa Claus. I taught you to lie, you lie to your children. There's nothing like that. I want you to know the reason for what we call Christmas. It's about Jesus. It's not about Santa. It's not about Santa. It will go outside. He will counter it. He will come back. I will tell him my own. There was a day I was talking to him. I remember, when he just stepped out of the house. There was this young girl, same age with him. And the young girl told him, and I saw my son come back to me like that, with his chest out. And he was talking back at me. Talking back at me. And the girl was behind him, whispering again, tell him. Tell him. And my son was talking back at me. I said, okay. At least I know one thing. You can talk about at me outside. No problem. I lured him inside the house. And his coach, his mentor, the girl, the tormentor, the girl, could not enter my house. Said, no, 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 you can't enter my house. This is my house. Go to your own, go to your father's house. Unfortunately, the girl grew up without a father. So I could understand. Father figures are rebellious creatures, as far as she's concerned. Because we have to understand the psychology of children. So my son entered. And I sat him down. And I talked sense into his head until he began to cry. I didn't call him names. I changed the tone of my voice. And he knew now I was serious. Next time I tell you something, and some body tells you something else outside, you come back to me to verify if it is true. And you see that girl? I'm sorry, you are not going to play with her again. Oh, daddy, daddy, she's my friend. I said, no. She's not your friend. If she's teaching you to disobey your daddy, she's not your friend. I drummed that into his head. Next time he saw her, and that one wanted to say, you know? And then he grew up. He became 13 years old. I think around 11, 13 and all that. And then he came back. He said, all his friends are on Facebook. So I said, okay, no problem. I said, what's the legal age for Facebook? What's the legal age? I don't know. Social media, 16. In fact, at that point in time, I was just understanding what Facebook was. You know, please, we parents, you better be current. Right? Better don't live in the stone age. Sorry? 16. 13 is the legal age. Okay. So I sat him down. I said, legal age for Facebook. Legal means law. So if you have Facebook, you're on social media before 13, you are breaking the law. And when you break the law, that's why you have police. They can come and arrest you. And even arrest me. Do you want daddy to go to prison? Oh, no, 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 no. I was making it narrow for him. Call me a bad father. I'm proud of my two sons today. Noah is 20. Well behaved. Go, I challenge you, go anywhere and ask about my son. My two sons. About their character. I make boast in the Lord of what I'm saying. Character. And if there's anybody in this church, any of my sons I've been rude to, please come and tell me. They've spoken to you. They've been rude to you. Please, I'm challenging you. Please just come and report them to me. Okay. So we made it narrow. No Facebook. Then he turned 13. I don't know what legal age. I just told him. Then I found out my son had gone to open Facebook account before he turned the legal age. So I called him. You have broken the law. Because you have broken the law, there are consequences. You know, people go to prison, not because they want to, but they've done something, so they decide to keep them away for a while. So the consequence of you opening this Facebook account is that you will not open it until you are 16. That is our agreement. Well, sorry, daddy, daddy, yeah. You don't need to use the rod to make a child cry. I didn't want to make him cry. I just wanted him to learn some principles of life. So no Facebook until you are 16. So he grudgingly, or whether willingly, don't worry, no Facebook. Then he will come back home. I notice he will want to talk to me because I'm learning a balance now. Because if you don't let your children express themselves, you might just think you are raising a robot. One day that robot will just rebel. So I noticed he will want to talk to me. Then he will say they gave them assignment. All his friends in school are on Facebook, and they're all laughing at him because he's not on Facebook. You know, he got bullied. He's not on Facebook. I said, no problem. Then I taught him a principle. In life, everybody's unique. Everybody's original. My son, I don't want to raise you doing what everybody does. Please do what you know to do. Be yourself. Be secure in yourself. You don't have to do what everybody's doing. Can you please just have that at the back of your mind? So everybody's on Facebook. You don't have to. I said, okay, fine. Then he grew up, he turned 15. I went to pick him from a youth conference, Christian youth conference, and we're driving home. And he said, daddy, I want to talk to you. I took a boy to a Christian conference. A man came out of the meeting. he said he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was very happy. He said he's coming to comprehend God by himself. I was very happy. I raised all my, I was a pastor before he was born. He grew up in church. He's seen church from nothing to people. I was happy. Like, wow, he has a fantastic testimony to share with me. And then he said, Daddy, about that Facebook, I know I'm not 16 yet, but I have to be on Facebook now. One part of me wanted to keep quiet. What did we agree? But it was the Spirit of God, Dr. Patrick, that must have restrained me that day. We're in the car, alone. I shouted at me and nobody would hear. I said, why? He said, Daddy, I'm seeing the benefits of this Facebook. Because all the people in the youth conference I went for, they have a Facebook group. They're asking me, and I don't have. I want to join. We share things, exchange experiences, what God is doing in our lives, and they want to follow up on my Christian growth. I know we said 16. You may not remember this conversation, but I'll never forget, because I'm learning every day. I said, okay. I breathed in and breathed out. Well, I told him, you know, if it's for that purpose, I said it's good because there's so much danger on social media. I educated him a bit. I said, but if it's for this purpose, let's make a deal. I said, you will open Facebook and I will be your first friend. And anybody who's your friend on Facebook is also my friend. Kingsley, where did I learn this from? I learned this from my own earthly father. Everybody that is my friend, my father, biological father, befriends. He knows everybody who is my friend. Not because he's controlling, but I just saw that genuinely he's interested. See, the pastoral side of me, I got it from my father. Very caring man. So I told him, everybody, who's your friend? So it was because of my son, I went to open Facebook. But I didn't want people to know I'm on Facebook. Because everybody has been asking me, oh, pastor, I want to join you, want to send friend, want to, no, I'm not looking for friends. I have enough. Friends you don't know. Friends who just see your name, see your profile. Oh, hiya, baby. I love you, baby. You look cool, baby. They want to defraud you. You don't know people's intent. There's a face, probably evil, hiding behind that keyboard. And we need to protect our children. I will give us some statistics. In terms of the time that we actually spend with our children statistically nowadays. All right? I will go back to Noah, remind me. Let me just throw this in. Statistically, there are, I think, 3 or 4 basic things, entity training our children. When I say training, please listen, is spending time with them, talking, instructing, guiding. That's training. Training is not, I bought you shoe, I bought you gold, I bought you the latest Nike shoes. All your friends are wearing designer. I must buy it for you. PlayStation 1 came out last year. Before the middle of the year, PlayStation 1.5 came up. You buy it. By Christmas, PlayStation 2.5, you buy it. You think that's training? Joke. Number one trainer today, unsolicited, comes right into your house, even when you are sleeping. Is social media. Social media trains up our children in the way which they should grow. That's why teenagers now and the older ones now, even when we're having a service like this, talking about serious things, they're on their phone. Don't blame them. They were trained. Even adults, some of us are adults now. We're doing Bible studies. Somebody's on WhatsApp. Why? We were trained. Social media, number one. Number two, Our children spend more time with other people, teachers, school, friends, peers, academic environment. They are training our children. You sent your child to the best school, to the most expensive school, does not mean you've trained that child. Come on. By the grace of God, I'm a pastor. I have seen and I have unseen. I'm talking to some parents. No. Do you know how much we are spending for their school fees? Why is the child behaving? Why? They've not lacked anything. We send them to private school. We send them to boarding house. With best school, they will be boasting. I'm just saying to myself, money misroad. That's what we call it where I come from, locally. You got money, and you're using that money to destroy your child. You don't know. Sending your child to the good school, best school, good education is not equivalent to training your child. Training is you spending time with them, instructing them. Primary school, they were in boarding house. The only time you see them, 3 weeks holiday, 1 week after. And that 1 week after, you are running to go and look for more money. Oh, my children, you call your friend, my children are at home. Oh, wow, they've grown. He went to school. He didn't have beard. He has mustache now. He's back. They're just there. Oh, glory be to God. We're blessed. And then some people will envy you. Oh, I wish I could send my child abroad too. Hey, in that school environment, God help you. The crazy teacher, crazy professor, crazy peers. Let me tell you, there were some vices I learned. My parents didn't teach me. Till today, my father, if he knows some things I did, I don't want to say it because he's on. My dad may be watching. Because I was trained. I learned them in school when my father wasn't there. The school environment, friends, peers, spend more time training our children nowadays. Internet, one. School, peers, teacher. And let me tell us something again. I'm saying this as a pastor with love. You send your child abroad, pastor, look after my child for me. I am not the one ordained by God. Train up your child. If you send a child abroad untrained, that's what you will get. First class does not mean you are trained. Doesn't mean you are trained. You have your first class, you are still battling with those demons, those internal demons. The time parents were meant to be there for you, they were not. It was social media. It was every other thing but your parents. But they were giving you money. You didn't lack anything, but you're not happy. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and has no sorrow. And the distant last is usually the fathers. The mothers still try. Maybe they call the child up once in a while. The father is busy. He's busy. Too busy. We're talking about blessed children. Please, let's follow God's principles. Back to my Noah. Where did I stop? I know you were enjoying that story. If you don't remember, then I will pause. Huh? So, I allowed him to open his social media. So, I too went on social media and opened a pseudonym. Friend number one was me. Before cock crow that day, it was in the morning, I went to pick him. My son had 80 friends on social on Facebook. 80. 80. True friend. True. Hey, true friend. 80. 8-0 between 11 a.m. when I picked him by 5 p.m. 80 friends on Facebook. 80. I said, Noah, who are these friends? Do you know this one? Do you know that one? That was now another father-son time. I now had to explain to him who a friend is. This is the meaning of friendship. Friends say, no, I know this one. I know somebody who knows that one. Yes, I know. He's a friend to a friend. I said, that is not true friendship, Noah. That is not. Father, anyway, I let him have all the 80, but I was monitoring. No problem. This is where I'm going. When he wanted to write his GCSE, he just thought to himself, all these people are distracting me. So we had a meeting again. And we agreed he would go off Facebook. So he went off Facebook. And he told all his, by this time his friends were over 100 or something. I don't know how many. From all over the world, even people who are adults. People that I was wondering, where did this one? Then I began to see Ezekiel that it seems like these people are actually trying to get me through my son. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I told him what to post, what not. If you post my picture or your mother's picture, I know you love us, but don't put my picture on your Facebook. There was a day I forgot. We're having our family, and I was dancing. You know, don't ask me what kind of dance. The dance we used to dance. So I just told them it's still in my body. So he was filming me, and then he put it on Facebook. Then I started hearing comments. No! Delete! Immediately. So what's going to do is GCSE. He announced to all his friends, I want to be off. I saw now that he was having a little bit of understanding and he could now control himself. Okay. He finished his GCSE. Then he went back on Facebook. Facebook, everything. Then he went to university. One day he came home and he told me, Daddy, I found out that what you're saying is actually very true. This thing is too distracting. So he went off all his social media platforms. He said he found out that these are not real friends. Because now he wants to be posting his faith. He wants to be talking about his faith, what he's learning, and all these 1,800 whatever friends don't want to hear. So these are not friends. No. So he went to open another one. So this time, anybody who really, I'm not looking for likes. I'm just looking for people who really want to listen to my message. I'm just saying this, that I look reflectively. Where did he get this from? Training. Just training to the glory of God. It's not looking for popularity. It's not. I told him, you don't need to be popular. You're already popular. And I found out my son was actually very popular. I was in my college one day. They didn't know it was my son. They were talking about him. I didn't tell him what he said anyway. Because I don't want people's opinion also to influence. It's not about people's opinion. All right, let's just run through the last slide I have here. Blessed children. Parents, please, we are the ones who should bless our children. What do I mean by that? We empower them. Blessed children are raised by blessed parents. I've explained a bit practically what it means to train. If you are guilty, please, this is not a message of condemnation, it's to attract repentance. Because you will soon find out that all these material things, they won't amount to anything at the end of the day. You lose your child. You lose them to materials. You lose them to all sorts of vices. Right? God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And because of the covenant on the father, Abraham, the blessing came on his children. If you're a blessed man, the blessing on you goes to your children. Sadly, it's the other way around. If you're operating on the curses, you bring it all on your family from one generation to another. Time will fail us. Acts 3:25 to 26, you see that. God blessed, made a covenant with Abraham. Now, through Jesus, anyone who comes into that covenant with Jesus is blessed. That is why, as a Christian, as a child of God, you are blessed in Christ Jesus. Now, Abraham's blessings began to manifest because Abraham went through testings. Listen, we sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine. I'm blessed in the morning, blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. Before the blessings, conditional, began to manifest, testings Abraham went through. One of it, you know, was God said, I will sacrifice your son, Isaac. Genesis 22, 1 to 16. But now let's look at something in verse 16 to 18. See how the blessing began to manifest. There's something God said about Abraham. He said, Abraham, I know him. He will command his household. He will teach his children. He will train them. I know him. After God had tested him. Please bring Genesis 22, 16. God said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, the test, sacrifice your son, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Your descendants, covenant. As the stars of the heaven, the sand, which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. Verse 18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Covenant through the parents. Your child, your children are blessed when you are blessed, when you are in covenant with God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, one day, some people brought their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to do one thing, bless them. Please, can someone help us go to the children's? I forgot to give them that instruction. We're all going to pray at the end of this, but we're bringing all our children here, lining them up. We're going to proclaim a blessing upon them at the end of this service. So please, if somebody can just go tell Sapphire and Josephine and my wife and our class and Dr. Abu, they should bring all the children out here. They brought their children, and the disciples wanted to push the children away. Jesus said, no. You must bring little children to me. Now, when you look at this practice here Jesus did, who are the children that were blessed? The children that their parents brought to Jesus. Can I tell us, sadly, it is us parents now, because of our neglect, that is blocking our children from coming to Jesus. We are too busy. A train, right? I came with a train this morning. The idea of a train, when the children come out, demonstrate it to us, is that there's an engine. And there are carriages. They are joined to the engine. The engine is like the parents. Wherever the engine goes, the carriages go. The children are the carriages. They've got to be joined with you. They've got to see you pray. They've got to see you go for Bible study. They've got to see you come early to church. You didn't do all that in front of them. You send them to university and handed them over to a pastor to get them to come to church. Am I that jobless? No, I'm wondering. You see, the kind of irresponsibility, you've hindered the child. By the way, listen, it is a child you can train. You can't train an adult. When is an adult? It's already set, trained. You can only counsel, advise, beseech. I mentor. And that is if they submit their wills to you. He's a child. So if you didn't train them as a child, they are old now. Just pray that they will meet, or you can mentor them now, because it's too late. Listen, it's too late. There is a season that children should be. You don't pray. They don't see you opening the Bible. They don't. You must read your Bible. The Bible says, read your Bibles, pray every day. It's not, there's nothing like, it's a song. You won't say a verse like that in the Bible. You don't even know the Bible yourself that you are quoting to the child. And when the child now is in trouble, you are running from pillar to post praying. Praying about what? For heaven's sake. On a very serious note, let's talk to ourselves today. Let's just talk to ourselves. You're telling you, sit down and listen to the word of God. Sit down. You come to church and they see you quickly go outside to take a phone call. What are you training? What are you training? Proverbs 20 verse 7. Bible tells us that the children of a righteous man, they are blessed. Psalm 103 verse 17 to 18. Mercy, blessings that is upon the blessed man and the woman passes on to the children. It passes on. Psalm 147 verse 11 to 13. Even from the womb, blesses the child within you. Please, every woman, please let them bring the children. We're going to bless every woman, whether you have a child or not. You're looking to have a child someday. Let's bless your womb. Trust in God for a child. Bless the womb. You are pregnant with a child. We will bless everyone here today. Please let them bring the children. While they are bringing the children, this was why I went to London. My very good friend, Reverend Song, just wrote a book on pillars of parenting. When I heard the content of the book, I shook my head. This book is academic, it's medical, it's psychological, and now balances it with scriptures. I said I was going to bring that book. I wanted to buy lots of copies and come and give people for free. I said, no way. No way. No. We don't value. So if you want to get it, it's on Amazon, it's everywhere. Pillars of Parenting. Let me tell you some of the things. As the children are coming, please. The children are coming. God bless you. Please, I want you to turn around, put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. Joshua, you stand here. Yeah, just like that. Put hands. We are the little children. Please come. Go behind them. Let's form a train. See the way they are? Just go behind them. Joshua, move forward. That's a train. Train up a child. They are watching you. It's not the shoe you buy them. It's not the designer. That's not training. It's not the hairstyle you make for them. Yeah, keep coming. That's a train. Just keep moving. Go around. That's a train. Wherever the head train goes, I need a daddy and mommy. Volunteer. Please, I need a daddy and mommy. Please, can anybody just represent daddy and mommy there? Ezekiel, you and your wife represent daddy and mommy. Stand in front of Joshua, side by side. That's if you are going the same direction, because this is how we raise dysfunctional children. Daddy and mommy are not even going the same direction. You know, we all have different ways we are brought up. You see parents fighting on how they will bring up their children. Fighting. One believes in slapping. The other, don't touch my child. You see what we're raising? These ones are blessed. Just forget it. Yes, side by side. Just watch that train. Train up a child in the way which it should go. They will follow you. You are making it narrow. Touch each other. Hey, touch. You must touch. Touch. See, children, I said touch, they touch. If it's adults, why are we touching? Touch. They find it as fun. Training is discipline. It's not the same thing as punishment. Train. Daddy and mommy, everywhere you go, anywhere you want to turn, they go with you. When they are old, they won't depart from it. They won't depart. They won't. I wanted to say Zipka and Sapphire, jump up a bit. You see, all the children will just jump up. That's training. Yeah. Watch the carriage. Yeah, you see? Train up a child in the way we should go. When they are old, they won't depart. Training. Please, are you capturing it on camera? Please capture this train. See? No, they can't raise their hand. They will disjoint. If you bend, they bend. If the train goes this way, all the carriages go. You go that way. Including, they don't know what's happening, but they will follow what they see. But you are not there. They can't see you. So what are you training? That is the train. The train can come back to terminus now. Please, everybody, rise up. Rise up, everybody. Let's rise. Let's begin. All we are doing right now, the first thing is, I don't know what you've heard. Please, the train can stop. The children just come. I don't know what you've heard. Children, just line up. We're going to bless all our children. And the parents, please, today, let it be a turning point. Let it be a turning point. Please, let's just, can you just give us a sound, music? We want to pray. I have received a command.